Pastor Joshua Selman.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Good evening, Port Harcourt. It's a joy to be here, and I know your life will never be the same. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please help me honor God's servant, Reverend George Zunwa. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. And please honor the men and the women of God here represented. Give them a big God bless you. In the name of Jesus Christ. I want to thank the Lord for this opportunity. Just a moment, my people. For this opportunity He's provided. I have learned by experience that every opportunity God gives to bless His people, to lift His people, must be cherished as a noble opportunity, because the price of every single one of us here is the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And as such, we must place that kind of value on everyone here. I believe that the Lord put this meeting together for our good, for our blessing. And like Reverend shared, let me lend my voice that you pay rapt attention, participate all through the service, and the Lord will do us good in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Shall we lift our hands to heaven and just cry that the Lord will visit us yet again? From the onset, the beginning of this conference up until now, He's moved in power, He's moved in grace. Now He's about to move upon us again in a mighty way, but not without expressing our desires and expectations. Someone cry unto the Lord, the light that I need to see, I open up my spirit to see. The grace I need to contact, go ahead, pray in 1 minute. Shabalako saprandige belene bakata. Shali brandike palako sapratike barandos theatres. Send my word, O God, let it come with power. Send my word, O God, let it come to lift me. Send my word, O God. Shalike paratuka sabrandige belana bakatash.
Thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men. Oh, you rescue the souls of men. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. Always hunger for. Oh, I always hunger for. You are the one that we pray. You are the one we adore. You give the healing that grace that our hearts always.
Spirit of the living God, we pray that you breathe upon us, move upon us in power, help us, and be glorified In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated. Please, could you help me a bit on my sound? Somebody, our sound people, God bless you. Again, it is an honor to be here. I truly celebrate God for giving me this opportunity. Thank you. Thank you very much. God's method has always been His Word. God's method will always be His Word. Hallelujah. His method to lift is by His Word. His method to bless is by His Word. His method to restore is by His Word. His method to empower is by His Word. His method to anoint, even though by the Spirit, it is still by His Word. Hallelujah. And so when God wants to help a man and to show a man mercy, what He does is to shorten the distance between you and His sent word. But then, the technology of administering God's word is through vessels, men. So every time God sends a man to you, He has sent to you the capacity to receive His word. It is a real attack on a believer if you do not have access to the Word of God, nor access to those who understand the Word. When God really wants to help a man, He doesn't give him money. When God really wants to help a man, He doesn't give him material things. He connects you to men and voices that can open up Scripture unto you. Because in this kingdom, we only arise and we shine because our light is come. And so this conference, even though it's on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but I need you to understand that it is first and foremost a feast of light. Are we together now? Yes. That you encounter the word that builds your spiritual understanding. The value of impartation is when the anointing comes upon a transformed and an enlightened believer. Listen carefully. The value of the anointing, the value of impartation, is when that impartation comes upon a believer who is not just saved, a believer who is enlightened and transformed. When a believer who is not transformed is anointed, it is the same thing as pouring oil in a basket. What retains the power of God is the wisdom of God. Listen carefully. What retains the power of God is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is likened to that vessel, that container. It says, go and borrow not a few. You don't borrow oil, but you borrow vessels. And the oil will always multiply to match the size of the vessel. So when the oil is small, it is not because the oil is small. It is because the vessel hosting it is small. Are we together now? And when it has to do with transacting the oil for profit, quantity matters. If the oil is small, it will bring little gain. The Bible says, and when there was no more vessel, the oil stayed. So open up your heart by the Spirit tonight as we explore a few things. And I trust in the name of Jesus Christ that tonight there will be the hearing of faith. And that whilst you hear, the Spirit of God who honors the Word of God will be doing His work upon your heart and upon your spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. We'll consider a few things today. Wherever we stop, we'll stop and pray. And I hope and trust that we'll be doing a lot of prayer as I teach, so that we're able to access the things that God has for us. Thank you, sound people. And then with that, we'll also access the grace that gives us capacity to demonstrate and validate the things that we have received. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Are you ready for the word? Now, the first thing I want us to know tonight, by the grace of God, is that it is God's desire for all believers to walk in the reality of dominion and victory whilst advancing the kingdom. It is the heritage of every believer in Christ to walk in dominion and to walk in victory. That whilst we serve the purposes of God throughout our sojourn on earth, God did not design for us to serve Him and to serve His purposes in defeat. Are we together now? So it is God's desire for you and I, every believer here represented, including the many who are connecting online, that we walk in the reality of dominion, that we walk in the reality of victory whilst advancing the kingdom of God on earth. You believe that? Shout amen. So victory and dominion is your heritage in Christ. Can you say that after me? That victory and dominion is my heritage in Christ. One more time. Victory and dominion is my heritage in Christ. It's important that you sustain that orientation. Regardless what you are going through, regardless what is not working, regardless the shame, the pain, the reproach, Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 says that I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, it says, is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. There is a glory that shall be revealed in us. So that dominion and victory, regardless what is happening in my life, it is my heritage in Christ. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's important that you believe, and it's important that you say it. One more time, shout it like a believer, that dominion and victory is my heritage in Christ. You may not have financial resources. You may not have the know-how to produce excellence. Your life may not yet produce glory, but it does not matter. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 says, now the earth was dark, void, formless, and the Spirit of God hovered round the face of the waters. When we get to verse 3, you would think God would recognize the darkness. He acted as if it did not exist. The Bible says, and God said, light be, not darkness, I see you, light be. There is a way believers function. He did not ignore the darkness, but he did not glorify the darkness. He said, light be, let there be light. And the Bible says, there was. Are we together? So, glory, victory, dominion is your heritage in Christ. Hallelujah. The second thing I want you to know very quickly is why we need to contend for dominion and victory. It's not important, or it's not enough, to know that victory, dominion, and a life indomitable is your inheritance in Christ. It's important for you to know why. Why does God insist that we win? Why does God insist that the word works in our lives? Why does God insist that we go from glory to glory? Look at the vast resources He's made available for the believer in Christ. I mean, He left no stone unturned. What exactly does He get when we win? What does He get when the saints are glorified? John 17 and verse 1. Jesus lifted up His eyes to pray, the Bible says, and here's what He said. Father, the hour is come. He said, glorify Thy Son. Are we still here? That Thy Son may glorify Thee. So the way the Father is glorified is when the sons are glorified. Are we together now? In theology, we call this the reflection principle. That means an object can only get glory when it reflects its image on something else outside of itself. So the glory of the sun is seen in the moon. Are we together now? The glory of a faithful man is seen in the way he adorns his wife. Are we together now? The glory of a tree is seen in the branches as they produce fruit, not the root. The root is the invisible part, but it is the reason why fruits come. So Jesus is praying and he says, for the sake of your being glorified, he says, glorify now thy son. When the saints are glorified, when the word works for you, when doors open for you, when you rise in your finances, when you access the anointing, when your children make progress, hear me, God is glorified. Did you hear that? The Bible says in John chapter 15 and verse 8, it says, herein is our Father glorified, when we bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. The Father is glorified when you produce results. The Father is glorified when you bear fruit. John chapter 15 and verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, the Bible says, and ordained you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit will remain. Hallelujah. Galatians 1:24. It says, and they glorified God in me. They glorified God in me. That when they look at the excellency of your Christian life, the excellency of your faith life, God is glorified. Hallelujah. Why does God want the saints to walk in the reality of dominion? Our dominion, our fruitfulness, our results is how God is glorified on earth. Never forget this. That means every time you say, Lord, I love you, it should not stop in a song. Your advancement is how you prove that you truly love him. The manifestation of his grace in and through your life. Are we together now? Did the Bible not say in Matthew chapter 5 from verse 13, it says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its saltiness or its savor, it says, wherewith is it salty? Again, it is good for nothing except to be thrown down and to be trampled under foot of men. Then it says, you are the light of the world. You are a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. It says, neither do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but that they put it on a candlestick, and it gives light to everyone in the room. Verse 16 now says, let your light. The word let means permit. Do not restrict. Do not restrain. Let your light so shine. Not before angels, not before spirits, before men. That they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do you believe that? So God is glorified when the saints excel. You must believe this. If you do not have a correct orientation for your desiring money, increase, anointing, you will end up in carnality, and that which should bless you ends up becoming a curse. Purpose is what gives value to pursuit. Purpose is what gives value to purpose, to pursuit. That everything you seek, you must know why. Are we together? Why does God want to see your children do well? Why does God want to see you get a job? Why does God want to see the barren with children? Why does God want to see the downcast restored? Why does God want to see the sick healed? Why does God want to see an ordinary backsliding believer become a cutting-edge firebrand believer? What is God really looking for? Glory. Glory. In your rising is God's glory manifest on earth. In your shining is God's glory manifest on earth. In your children excelling, are we together now? In your having access to the resources that allow you to live a life of meaning and dignity. In your being anointed in ever increasing dimension, doing much for the kingdom, God is glorified. Someone shall be glorified through my life. One more time, shout it, say, be glorified through my life. So God desires that we produce results so that, number one, he can be glorified upon the earth. Number two, the second reason why God insists, I'm laying a few foundations because these will be important for what I really want to begin to talk about tonight. Our victorious and fruitful living. This is the second reason why God insists that we walk in dominion and victory. Number one, I told you that our dominion, fruitfulness, and results is how God is glorified on earth. And then number two, that our victorious and fruitful living draws many to Jesus. Draws many to Jesus. Draws many to Jesus. In the manifestation of God's goodness in your life is capacity to draw many to Jesus. Are we together now? John chapter 20 now, and verse 30 and 31. The Bible makes a very profound statement. It says, many other miracles did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which were not written or recorded in this book. The next verse says, but these are recorded. Is that in your Bible? That you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that in believing you may have life through his name. So your results not only cause men to see the glory of God, it draws men to desire the living Christ who has produced that glory in your life. Listen, there is nothing I know that compels men to righteousness like genuine God-inspired results. Are we together now? You can see a believer who becomes such an enviable portrait of a Christian. He will compel you to want to be a Christian too. Why does God insist that we win? Because through the efficiency of our witness, it will draw many to Jesus. John chapter 1, 6 and 7. There was a man, the Bible says. Are we still together? There was a man sent from God. The Bible says his name was John. Then verse 7 says, the same came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, or of the light, that men through his witness might believe. Through the witness of John, through the witness of Joshua Selman, through the witness of every member of the Gateway Church and the many who have come, many, not few, many, he wants many to believe. That someone looks at your life and in the midst of a harsh economy you are still giving, and the person comes to say, how are you doing it? And you say, I have found something called the favor of God. There is such a thing as that. Hallelujah. I hope you know that results are also evangelists. There is a sermon they preach and there is an audience that listens to them. Your result is an evangelist. Hallelujah. So the next time you see your pastor speaking over your life and insisting that you win, it is beyond just Pentecostal activities. It's beyond just charismatism. He is bearing witness with the desire of the Spirit to see and insist that you walk in the reality of dominion for these reasons. One, that Jesus be glorified through your life. Number two, that the efficiency of your results and your witness can draw many to Jesus. If you understand me so far, shout amen. Amen. The meaning of that is that anything that threatens your result must come under attack this night. Anything at all threatens your result, threatens your rising, your shining, your becoming, threatens your life, the manifestation of God's glory, in the name of Jesus, it must be judged tonight. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, you lift my head. But thou, O Lord, and a shield for me, you're my glory, the lifter up of my head. But thou, O Lord, and a shield for me, my glory, you lift my head. But thou, O Lord, and a shield for me, you're my glory, the lifter up of my head. Prophesy. Say, you're my glory, the lifter up of my head. You're my glory, the lifter up of my head.
my glory.
Let me speak over someone that by the end of this conference, in the name of the Lord Jesus, by reason of what my God would have done in your life, men will look at you, they will marvel and wonder at the hand of God over your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. For someone, God is eroding from your life everything that looks like shame and reproach. Everything that looks like shame and reproach, it must bow tonight in the name of Jesus. Please be seated.
You're my glory, the lifter up of my head. You are my glory, the lifter up of my head. My glory, the lifter up of my head.
So it is God's desire for us to walk in victory, in power and dominion. And the reason is to bring glory to Jesus and to draw many to Him. Now, every believer in Christ has access to the spiritual resources. Please listen carefully now. Every believer in Christ has access to the spiritual resources that makes for the experience of victory and dominion. As part of God's commitment to seeing that you and I walk in victory and dominion in experience, He made available for us spiritual resources. Are we learning now? And that every believer in Christ has access to all of the spiritual resources that guarantee victory and dominion. Ephesians 1:3. Paul is mentoring the church in Ephesus, and when we get to verse 3 of Ephesians 1, he says, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." Say that after me. All spiritual blessings. One more time. That God had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places and in Christ. Spiritual resources. God did not just leave us with a desire to see us manifestations of His glory and experience. He went further to make available to the saints spiritual resources. In 2 Peter chapter 1, I believe from verse 3, when you start from verse 2, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge." Are we together now? Of Jesus Christ and of His, you know, of. Let's start from verse 2. Media, give us 2 Peter 1. We'll read 2 to 4. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of our God and of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 3. It says, "According as His divine power hath given us" how many things? One more time. One more time. "Hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." There are things that pertain unto life, and there are things that pertain unto godliness. The Bible says His divine power caters for all. The things that pertain for godliness, unto godliness, are matters of your spiritual health, matters of your consecration, matters of your knowing and loving Jesus. But the things that pertain unto life are matters of your welfare, your finances, the issue of your children. The Bible says His divine power caters for everything that pertains unto both life and godliness. Not godliness alone, living the matters of life. Not life alone, living the matters of godliness. His divine power has given us all things that pertains unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge, it says, of Him that has called us into glory and virtue. Verse 4 says, whereby or wherefore are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by them we might be partakers of His divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Are we learning? So in Christ, every believer has access not only to the promises, but the spiritual resources that guarantee victory and dominion. Here's where my teaching starts now. Listen carefully. Access does not equal possession. We have been given access to the resources that make for the experience of dominion and victory. But it does not mean we currently are possessors of those secrets. I can give you access to 1 million naira as a check, but you may not be able to transact with that check. Am I right? It is true that the check means there is potential of 1 million naira that could be credited in your account. How many of you have had money credited to your account and you see it on paper? It's written there, but you can't withdraw it yet. Sometimes they will say you need to allow for 24, 48, 72 hours. So it is there, yet you cannot possess it. Most believers do not know the difference between access and possession. So we claim a lot of things that are true, but they never find expression in our lives. If you say, I am victorious, you are right. If you say, I am the head and not the tail, you are right. If you say, I am anointed of the Lord, you are right. If you say, I will live long to fulfill my days, you are right. But ladies and gentlemen, access is not the same as possession. Many people have access. All believers, in fact, have access through Christ. But very few people have become possessors, walking in the experience of these spiritual realities. My assignment here at this conference is to help you by the mercies of God to move past the gate of just access, that your life becomes a living example, a possessor. Are we together now? It says the things that we have seen, the things that we have heard, but then it now says the things that our hands, you can lay hold on eternal life. It can become your experience. It is only at that point you will be called a living epistle. So you personify the speakings of God. That everything He has said, your life becomes a demonstration of it. This is why Jesus was called the Word, the Logos of God. Everything God was thinking, He captured it in His life. Are we learning? So access does not mean possession. Access to health is your heritage in Christ. But whether you will stay healthy in experience is another dynamics. Access to prosperity and increase is your heritage in Christ. So says the Word of God. The Bible calls them exceeding great and precious promises. They are promises. They are not a lie. His promises are yea and amen. But whether it works in your life, if I remain sick today, does not change the fact that there is provision for my health. If I remain poor today, it doesn't change the fact that in Christ there is a possibility for increase and abundance. If I reject Jesus Christ today and go to hell, it doesn't negate the fact that Jesus said it is finished. That His substitutionary sacrifice is a reality. In spite of the fact that Jesus died already more than 2,000 years ago, there are men and women who still go to hell because access is there. But there is a dynamic that makes salvation your possession. Are we learning? Every believer in Christ has access to the spiritual resources that make for dominion in experience. But very few believers are able to enter into the experience by knowing and engaging these resources. Write this down, please. Walking in the reality of dominion, victory, and fruitfulness. Walking in the reality of dominion, victory, and fruitfulness demands knowing and engaging the spiritual resources available to us. Walking in the reality of dominion, the reality of victory, the reality of fruitfulness demands, number one, knowing, number two, engaging the spiritual resources that are available to the believer. knowing and engaging. Not engaging. You cannot engage in ignorance. Knowing and engaging the spiritual resources available to the believer in Christ. Are you learning so far? Walking in the reality of victory, dominion, and fruitfulness demands knowing and engaging the forces of victory, the spiritual resources that are available for us. And tonight we are going to take one of those mysteries, and that will be the thing that I'm discussing with us tonight. But it's important for you to know that anything that is not working in my life is because I have not understood it, and I have not understood the dynamics of engaging it. Let God be true and all men liars. If you are not anointed today, it is not the bankruptcy of the anointing. It is that you have not understood the dynamics of making it your reality. The Bible says you arise and shine not when your light is available. It's always been there, but the day it comes to you. Hallelujah. The day it comes to you. Nobody's life has an advantage by default. No. By reason of the sin nature, by reason of the fallen nature, all men, spiritually speaking, are disadvantaged. Now, physically speaking, you may be born in a rich family, very educated family, enlightened family, exposed family. All of those things only help sociologically. From a spiritual standpoint, any man outside Christ is disadvantaged by default. Among other reasons, every spirit has legal access to mete out destruction upon your life because the basis of their restraint has not been received by you. Are we learning now? So a man can rise from grass to grace overnight, courtesy demonic attacks. One of the mysteries that allows for victory is to learn how to enforce judgment upon wicked spirits. Now, please look at me. There are many mysteries that are responsible for commanding results. Favor is a mystery that can be understood and engaged. Mercy is a mystery that can be understood and engaged. Are we together? Yeah. Prayer, giving, all of these are kingdom mysteries. And every one of them helps the believer to become a more accurate portrait of the image of God. Anytime these mysteries are not at work in your life, there will be deficiency, like in nutrition. There's something called balanced diet, and when you go for a general checkup, they can, from your blood, they can tell what vitamins are missing. Are we together? Now, you are not dead, but you are not maximizing life. Sometimes you can have pain around your joints, and when you get to a doctor, he will check everything and say you are lacking vitamin D, for instance. Just because of the absence of one vitamin, it can collapse many activities. So when you see someone who is healthy, his health is a composite of gathering through effective nutrition and perhaps exercises all the nutrients that help him to be a wholesome person. Am I right on that? Yes. Every treatment is an attempt by the doctors to remedy something that should be, and is either missing or depleting. There are people trained to detect inefficiencies. They are called doctors. They can look at you and know that something is wrong. Your white blood cells are weak. It is the reason why you have this. And they supplement it. And then they teach you how to live and stay healthy. This is how it is spiritually. That means you can look at a believer, and upon the strength of spiritual intelligence, you can know that favor is missing in this life. You can know that this is born again genuinely. But the defeat that is in this man's life, including a pastor, you can diagnose with surgical precision what is wrong with a person's spiritual life. The Bible says they know not, neither will they understand, they walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. He says, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you, not some of you, not the preachers among you, are children of the Most High. He says, but you shall die like mere men and fall like one of the princes. Many believers are victims today. And they are being victims. It's not necessarily because of Satan. The Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There are two elements to that statement. I'm not teaching on that tonight. The second part of it is not your business. The truth making you free was designed by God's power. It is your knowing the truth and engaging it that is your own business. But if it is known and engaged, the same way you plant, and when you are done planting, you are done. How it grows is a mystery that only God's power can explain. Hallelujah. So if you are failing in life, failing in ministry, failing in finances, failing in health, you are a victim of every curse and every attack. Every arrow that flies by day lands on you. Every noisome pestilence lands on you. Let me tell you that diagnosis. You are bankrupt of the requisite spiritual knowledge. And it is dangerous to know a little of many spiritual things. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2 says, and if any man think that he knoweth anything, the Bible says, let that man know that he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. There are many believers who have scattered random spiritual knowledge. A little on finances, a little on deliverance, a little on victory, a little on the blood, a little on this, and we carry that knowledge, and it is not synergized to produce victory. It's not enough to have truth. The truth must be methodically arranged. Look at your building. The reason why you call this a building, it's not because there is brick and mortar. It's because the builders arranged it in a certain sequence. Apostle, I know something about finances. Really? Prove it. What do you know and how much do you know? I know something about the anointing. Really? What do you know? Does the devil respect what you know? Because the Bible tells us the realm of the spirit can disrespect your spiritual level. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. He said, who are you? There are many who are still being asked that question. Who are you? I'm creating a holy anger in you tonight that you will cry for light and pant for it. Are we together now? That you will step up the bar in the spirit and say, I can't be walking at this level again. It's important to begin to fly like the eagle. There are pastors here with the destiny, global prophetic destinies. The difference is light, not time. If you stay in your current version, even after 20 years, you'll still be there. Time does not change anything. Listen, the vehicle that transports us to prophecy is called light. Revelation is the vehicle that stops men from remaining where they are. It takes them to where they need to be. And the Spirit entered me. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 2. And set me upon my feet. The Spirit entered me. You have to be tired of your current spiritual state, dear man of God. Tired of your current prayer life. Tired of your current level of spiritual illumination. With all due respect, you are a servant of God here. Have you maximized the growth, the kingdom influence that God has given you? How about those in business? Is this the most that you can make out of the grace and the investment of the Spirit upon your life? The difference is light. The Bible says that was the true light that lighted upon every man. Every man. Every man. I believe that there are many people rising from this city in ministry, in business, in every area. But ladies and gentlemen, Your life is as beautiful as the light that shines on you. Your life is as glorious as the light that shines on you. Are we together now? That between desire and the manifestation of that desire is spiritual illumination, access to the mysteries of the kingdom. Matthew 13:11, Jesus said, it has been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And very quickly, we'll take one of these mysteries, and then God will open our eyes to understand how it works. I want to teach you tonight how to judge, to mete out judgment on wicked spirits, to give you the liberty to rise and thrive. Now, many people hate demons, many people hate devils, but many people don't know what to do about it. They cry, they shout, they even pray, and it is clear that the realm of the spirit does not respect them. You see, let me tell you this. A giant door is still controlled by a small key. You can put that key in your pocket, but if that key is missing, you will stand in front of that door from morning till night. The rising of the sun and the setting of it does not automatically open the door. Sometimes you will check your car and find the key and say, look, I've been standing here since morning. And all you need to do is to turn the key. 1, 2, 3. And with childlike obedience, the door opens. But if that key is not there, as masculine as you are, you will stand in front of that door, sometimes forever. Some of you have been standing. Pray. Someone is rising. Pray. An end is coming to a negative season for someone. Finally, you are finding the way out. Finally, the two lift gates of your prophetic call is about to be opened for you. Are you praying in the spirit with your eyes fixed on Jesus? A man of God is about to hear something now that will cause 1,000 cubits to be measured for you in ministry, to dive deeper into your kingdom exploits. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please be seated. Jesus himself began to teach about the church, and he made a very profound statement. Please listen now. He started by probing into their identity of who he was. He says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And some said, you are Elijah. Some said, you are one of the prophets. And he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter spoke by the Spirit. He said, I know who thou art. That means revelation is personal. He didn't say we. I know. I know. You can be in a crowd, but God must send you your word. I know who thou art. It says, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replies and says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Simon, Peter, but the Spirit of our Father. It says, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, upon this strategy, upon this revelation of my being Lord and Christ, I will build the church. And then he says, the gates of hell. Jesus himself recognizes that there is an organized entity that will attempt to fight the building, the thriving, and the manifestation of the church. He calls it the gates of hell. Are we together? Not just hell, not just spirits. The gates of hell. It was Paul, by the Spirit of God, who began to give us a very structured theological understanding of the satanic organogram, helping us to know there were types and shadows of those revelations. Jesus himself taught about demons, that demons can be in men, and that when they leave men, they still lay claims to their bodies. Jesus also taught us that there is an organized, united, satanic structure that every kingdom divided against itself will not stand. Are we together now?
Yeah.
But Paul began to give us a very thorough exegesis of the whole program of Satan. He said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." When he mentored the church in Ephesus, we'll get there shortly. By the time we get to chapter 6 and verse 10, he now says, concluding his mentorship, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord," he says. Then he says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy." Are we together? Then he now says, verse 14 now, he says, "Having your loins girded about with," he begins to describe all of those armors. So he lets us know that we are not alone. In fact, Jesus said it this way. He said, "While men slept," that means men are not the only ones in this domain. There are spirits, and not all of them are righteous spirits from God. Some of these spirits are manifestations of rebellious spirits that Satan and his cohorts, there is an organized satanic organogram with a mandate to fight the saints. Now, when it has to do with the subject of demons and evil spirits, there are two extreme schools of thought. I'm not really going into the details of it, but number one, there are those who ignore the presence of demon spirits and act as though they are not there. That is wrong. Jesus himself acknowledged the fact that there are spirits. After Jesus prayed and fasted in Matthew 4, the first person to come to him was not an angel. It was Satan himself. After praying and fasting, he met Satan. That means the more spiritual you are, sometimes you would think he should run away, but he becomes more interested in you because he knows that your becoming is equal to the liberation of many. Don't say, "Why is the devil disturbing me?" He's watching your zeal and your tenacity and your passion, and he knows that your rising is equal to the rising of 1,000 others. Are we together? Then number two, there are those who pursue the subject of demons and Satan as though it is an endless battle with no victory. That, in my opinion and based on the authority of Scripture, are two extremes. A man can have victory over Satan, victory over demons, victory over curses, victory over yokes, and the results of that victory can be experienced in your lifetime here and now. If you don't believe that, your idea of warfare will be an endless battle with no victory in view. Are we together now? So we are teaching on how to judge wicked spirits. When Jesus died, there are seven things that we were delivered from. Let me just state this. Seven things the believer was delivered from when Jesus died. Number one, sin. Number two, Satan and all wicked spirits. Number three, death. Number four, hell. Number five, the grave. Number six, the world. Number seven, the flesh. These are the seven things that man was delivered from on account of Christ's substitutionary sacrifice. Number one, sin. Number two, Satan alongside wicked spirits. Number three, death. Number four, hell. Number five, the grave. Number six, the world. Number seven, the flesh. But you see, the dynamics of administering the victory differs. The way you establish victory over sin is different from the way you establish victory over the flesh. Sin is solved the moment you acknowledge the lordship of Christ. That very nature of sin leaves immediately. But the flesh has to do with dying daily. You don't cast out the flesh. You cast out Satan and spirit, but you don't cast out the flesh. You are renewed. You are transformed. Are we together now? All of these seven victories are a reality. But if you do not know how to administer them, you will become a victim to every one of them. So let's talk about Satan and spirits. I just wanted to point this out. Because many believers think the only thing Jesus purchased for the saints is victory over sin. No. 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 Are we learning? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are demons real? Yes, sir. Is there an organized satanic kingdom? Yes, sir. Do they oppress the saints? Yes, sir. Do they have the liberty to oppress the saints? From the victory of Christ? No. But by the partnership of men? Yes. Did you get what I said? The only reason why Satan still seems to have authority and demons, you see, because the law of territory is this. You never function upon the earth if you do not have a mortal body with solical connections. Now listen, man is not the only spirit God created. There are many other spirits. Angels are a class of spirits. Demons are a class of spirits. God himself is spirit. Satan himself is spirit. Are we together now? But it is not every spirit that was given dominion over the earth. Are we learning now? Man, as God's creation, more so man in Christ, is the authorized steward of the earth. Are we together now? The heaven of heavens belong to the Lord. The Bible says, but the earth has he given to the sons of men. Are we clear on that? But man is not the only spirit within the domain of earth. There are many other spirits. And that based on the law of God, it is illegal for any spirit that is not called man to function upon the earth, except man comes into partnership with that spirit. Are you understanding now? So the Holy Spirit, even though he is God's spirit, he dwells in man to work effectively. That Satan as a spirit is only as powerful as the human agents that are in partnership with him. Even Jesus as the Logos of God could not function upon the earth because as the Word, he did not have a material body. He needed to pass through the womb of a woman to have a material body. And you name that spirit in that body, Jesus. The reason why we know he will return is that he left with his body. So he doesn't need a virgin to give him a body again. He can return and it will not be illegal. This is one of the reasons why we know that he will return. The first time he needed to negotiate with a virgin to donate her womb until he gave birth to Jesus in the flesh. But now he went with his body. Have you forgotten what the angel said? This same Jesus, that he will return the same way you have seen him go. Every time you think Jesus will not return, remember, he didn't leave his body on earth. He went with his body. He doesn't need any virgin to give him a body again. Hallelujah. Watch this. So demon spirits, from the time they were cursed, I don't want to go into the details of the organogram of the satanic kingdom, but there is. All demon spirits do not wield the same kind of power and authority and attack over the saints. Jesus himself taught us this, that when a spirit leaves a man, it goes around dry regions. Is that in your Bible? Jesus is teaching, not a prophet, Jesus. And not finding a place of rest, It says, let me return back to my house. The man is free, but the demon is still saying it is my house. And the Bible says, when it comes and finds the house swept, clean, but empty, that it goes to gather demons greater than itself. So Jesus tells us there is stratification greater than itself, and returns back to that man. The madman who had a legion of demons, it was not all of them that spoke to Jesus. When Jesus said, what is your name? Only one of them answered, legion. But there were many of them. Are we together? The same way you have angels, and there is a distribution of their function. All angels are not the same, and all angels do not do the same thing. No, there is an organized spiritual cadre. Are we together now? Yes. There are things you never find the archangel Michael doing in scripture. There are things you never find archangel Gabriel doing in scripture. No. They have jurisdiction. One of the things you will learn about authority is that you cannot have authority without jurisdiction. Jurisdiction defines your limit of operation. It is so for Satan. It is so for these angels. Anyway, let's go back to what I'm discussing now. So we're discussing the fact that wicked spirits are real. Please look at me. The central assignment of the satanic kingdom was revealed to us by Jesus himself, and is found in John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, help me believers, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Say that after me. To steal. That means everywhere you see Satan, everywhere you see demon spirits, it doesn't matter the unique assignment they have. The central theme is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, look at me. The only way to steal, to kill, and to destroy is to go where there is something to steal, to go where there is something to kill, and to go where there is something to destroy. That is the reason why Satan will not let believers free. Because they are the only ones who really have what is there to steal. The Bible says the sower went to sow the word, and he gave Satan what to steal, because that was what he went to steal. You see, the primary thing that Satan steals is not your health. The primary thing that Satan steals is not your finances. Many people know he's a thief, but they don't really know what he steals. Only a foolish thief enters a house and steals everything. They will catch him because of that. He looks for the most valuable thing, picks it, and runs away. Is that not true? So when Satan comes into your life, you will be surprised. You give him your health, he's not interested. Give him your finances, he's not interested. Let me tell you what Satan steals. Satan steals the word. Satan steals your understanding. When he does that, it will look like he's stealing your health. It's a waste to touch your health when your understanding is intact. It's a waste to touch your destiny when your understanding is intact. You need to know what Satan is looking for in a believer. Most believers feel his, yes, it looks like he attacked your health, but he has stolen something before he came back to your health. The real thing he stole was your capacity to understand. Who is learning? Yes, sir. Show me a man who has enlightenment and spiritual understanding. It doesn't matter what he's stolen. Understanding has such compelling power, it will bring it back. And Satan knows. Apostle, but why is it that my own is just my health? No, sir. It looks like it is your health. But what he's really attacking is your spiritual understanding. That is why the real way to help people and bring lasting deliverance is not just to bring healing, it's not just to bring deliverance by casting the devils, is to correct their orientation. Is the reason why Satan fights light. He will prefer you to be anointed to heal the sick, but not to have the power to teach. Because in teaching people, you bring them to a realm of enlightenment. Who is understanding? My glory,
the lifter up of my head. You're my glory, the lifter up of my head. You are my glory, the lifter up of my head. You are my glory, the lifter up of my head.
So the Bible says Satan steals, Satan kills, Satan destroys. And I'm teaching you that the most valuable thing that any believer has that Satan is looking for is your spiritual understanding. If Satan can steal your access to the word, access to understanding, even if he leaves your health, you will still be sick. Even if he leaves your finances, you will still be poor. Because what powers your efficiency, the battery that powers this entity called you, is light, your understanding. How many of you know that you can buy a giant television, brand new, a giant refrigerator? How many of you know that if it's not connected to source, or maybe you can have a clock, beautiful clock, and yet because it is not powered, it can remain there. If you put your drink in a new fridge, the meat or whatever can rot there, although the fridge is brand new. That's how many destinies are. Because it is not powered. And what powers it is light. Salvation is like purchasing the appliance. It is brand new, but it is light that releases the efficiency. For many of us, you are like a fridge that has been kept for 10 years. And you are asking people to drop all kinds of things. And anything that enters you dies. You are genuinely saved, but you've not been empowered by light. Lay your hands on your head, and in 1 minute, cry for light. Cry for light. Cry for light. Someone pray. Shapakata katabalakata. Rekateberento kotobakata. Ah, the light that releases me to another level of grace. The light that opens me up to another level of spiritual efficiency. 1 minute, you are praying. Shakren teke beleketa. Rakata pakata prekete beleketa. Sky baranta sebele teke bereketos. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. In Jesus' name we pray. Please be seated. Please be seated. Please be seated. So the primary thing Satan seeks to steal is your spiritual understanding. But it is not the only thing he steals. When he captures your capacity to receive and understand the word, he can now begin to met out like an octopus, touching every area of your life. Suddenly your finances collapses. Suddenly your health collapses. Suddenly your relationships collapse. Suddenly ministry cannot rise. And when you go to sleep, God begins to give you signs that at the back of the calamities that seem to befall you, among the many explanations is that there are demonical forces assigned. Now please look at me. Listen to me. There are demonic spirits assigned to all men. Once you are alive, once you pass through the womb of a woman, Satan does not wait till you are saved. Once you are alive, you are a potential threat to his program. And there are spirits assigned to you. Number two, when you get saved, that translation from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, that one, you are now an open threat to Satan's program. There are spirits assigned to every believer. Demonic spirits with the singular assignment of frustrating your spiritual growth and efficiency and ultimately aborting God's prophetic program over your life. Are we together? When you now find purpose and answer the call, especially that you are called into the fivefold ministry, there is a special assigning of spirits. They don't follow you, they follow the office. There are spirits that don't attack individuals. They attack mantles, anointings, and offices. So whoever becomes the carrier of that grace, it is the reason why God does not waste impartation. He mandates that you have a certain level of spiritual knowledge before certain anointings rest on you. Because you can have the anointing, but can you defend the attacks that follow that anointing? If you are Elijah, Jezebel is coming. That's for sure. If you are Samson, Delilah is coming. You must have the technology to protect the anointing. And that happens by light. The reason why many of you received certain impartations and it was a waste is because you were in an atmosphere of genuine impartation, but by growth, you had not risen to a level of spiritual illumination that brought profit to your impartation. So God will rather allow the grace to be dormant until light comes, like hiding Moses in Egypt. Because if you are attacked in ignorance, you would die. I hope you're learning. This is also the reason why sometimes, I hope you know that not every stuntedness and every delay is demonic. Even though I'm teaching on demons, there are many, many, many stuntedness, levels of stuntedness in our lives that is caused by God Himself. It is an act of mercy to keep you so that you are not destroyed. There are certain doors God will not open for you in ministry. The kind of attack versus your ignorance, you will fall in such a way that will become a disaster to the body of Christ. So God Himself will limit your growth and connect you to a source of true light. When you rise, He will open the door by Himself. Listen, God does not only open doors, He closes doors. Who closed the door of the ark? Talk to me. Who closed the door of the ark? He closed it not to limit them. He closed it for safety. Everything that was inside was restrained, but it was safe. Listen, that is the reason why the Bible says, number one, to give thanks. When you do not understand, whether it is demonic or whatever, you are mandated to give thanks, because there are many things you do not understand. Father, with this kind of anointing, I should be running 10, 15 churches. And you apply for visa endlessly, and you will not get it, even while you are fasting. It's not always demonic. God has seen the tendency in your heart. The only way to get your attention is this version of you. If you rise without His help, He may not get you again. So He will keep you there until the day you hear teachings like this. Then even without praying for you, you will see certain doors open. Because it's not that God could not lift you. I hope you understand what I'm teaching you. It's true. So there are spirits assigned to men, spirits assigned, demonic spirits now, to believers, spirits assigned to those who have found purpose, especially directly serving the purposes of the kingdom. Then, there are spirits assigned to men who have been uniquely elected by God to represent certain unique expressions of His speakings per season, per time. So it doesn't matter who you are. Once you are here listening to me, I tell you by the authority of Scripture, there is something in Satan's plan with your name on it. They don't have to take your name to the coven. Your name is already there. Not at the coven. The devil is aware you are there. You think he doesn't know you are there? Not with the kind of prophecy on your head. I hope you know that when God is building you, the realm of the spirit is watching too. He's seen the prophet forming. The devil knows what that prophet will do. He's seen the apostle rising. He's seen Deborah rising. He's seen Esther rising. Every week you are receiving the word in church. It's not only you who is coming to church. Satan comes where God is too. That's how he steals. Where else will he get what to steal? Hallelujah. But very quickly, so that we will pray. It is true that the Bible lets us know we are not alone. It is true that the Bible lets us know that anything that can glorify God becomes Satan's project to attack it and destroy it. That means if Satan sees the Gateway Church rising, flourishing, make no mistakes about it, he will not fold his arms. No, sir. That you are here now listening, this is not to plant fear, but it's the truth. He knows that among all your family members, you are the most serious Christian. He knows the implication of what you are hearing now. He knows the effect that you are about to end an age-long captivity that has tied ladies, that has tied men, that have tied people in your family. My brother, he will not fold his arms. No. Every time Satan attacks one man, he's attacking a nation in one man. Now I'm giving you explanation as to why you are saying, Apostle, why wouldn't he allow? It looks like my life is always under attack. It's a description of the glory he has seen that you have not seen. Hallelujah. Listen to me. I wish I had the time. I would have told you a bit of my story. There is no great man today you see who has been helped by God and shown mercy that did not have a testimony of brutal demonic attacks. Satan can see. In the realm of the spirit, there are secrets, but not like it is on earth. Many things that are secrets on earth, if you are open to the spirit, they are not secrets again. There are angels that signify greatness, and demon spirits can see it. There are stars that signify greatness, and demons can see it. They know that this is a child of destiny. They know that this is a woman of prophecy. Listen, if Satan killed children in the days of Moses and killed children, babies, in the days of Jesus, he doesn't even spare to let you grow. He will attack anything. No wonder he does not want to allow you have a child. It's not about barrenness. He knows how you will train that child. He already knows what that child becomes. Listen, I'm giving you spiritual intelligence. Nothing happens in the realm of the spirit to the saints for the fun of it. Satan is too serious to take you personal. He's looking at an agenda bigger than you. You think it's about your family. It's not about your family. It's about God's program and the contribution of your family to that program. Why is he attacking your brother? Because there is a prophet in that stubborn child. And he would rather that child not come to church. Any other person can go, but not this one. It is the reason why it is good to invite people to church. You don't know how you are cooperating with heaven. Cooperating with a family. My brother, can we go to church? And heaven says, thank God. There is a man who has come into partnership. And he sits there like some of you now were invited for this program. And whilst you are hearing this, the Spirit of God finally found you after 10 years. Demons are real. Spirits are real. They attack ministries. They attack businesses. They attack everything that can be attacked. They attack marriages. They attack pastors. Listen, let me speak with all due respect to servants of the living God here. I think the average man of God is not aware of the program of hell to destroy your life and your ministry if you let him. He will fight your integrity. He will fight your consecration. He will fight your character. He will fight your helpers. Are we together? So the first young man to be a graduate in a family, rejoicing to go and collect his certificate, is knocked down by a car and he dies. It's not about the boy dying. It's about seeing that 11 people will rise. Because when he sends a word to Jacob, he lights upon Israel. My sister, the reason why the devil seems to make sure any good man who comes around your life, it's as if he will fight and fight. And you are saying, is it that I'm a black sheep? You are not a black sheep. There is a signification on your destiny. While you were praying and say, Lord, I dedicate my womb to have children that will fear you, Satan had that prayer too. It was not only angels. That I make up my mind, I will keep myself. Satan had it too. And he says, all right, you have drawn the line. That you have vowed as a man of God that you will not compromise. You will do ministry with integrity. And Satan says, all right, let's see. But the Bible says, now thanks be to God, which causes, always causes us to triumph. But like I taught you, it is one thing to see victory from God's standpoint. It is another to understand the dynamics of making it your experience. Now let me tell you the truth, ladies and gentlemen. Behind the many nasty calamities that have plagued many of us and that has brought many of us to church this night are demon spirits. Let me tell you this. It's an uncomfortable truth, but be wise enough to understand now. Demons are not the only reason for the calamity of the saints. There are many other factors. Ignorance, laziness, inaction, lack of faith. All of these are factors. But the role demons play, don't downplay it. And don't let any man trivialize it. You only trivialize it if you have knowledge. Satan will kill anything in your life if allowed. Steal anything in your life if allowed. Are we together? Destroy anything in your life if allowed. By the message of God, I have seen demon spirits. I have seen all kinds of spirits in my life and in my visions. I know demons are real. I have seen the disaster they met on people. I've been to the hospitals. I've seen sicknesses. I've seen mysterious situations. That a woman gets married and gets pregnant, and while she's sleeping, she will tell you a stranger came to molest her, and the next thing she sees blood and it's called miscarriage. Machines cannot diagnose that. The problem started from the realm of the spirit. A man who gets blessed just when 10 million, 20 million arrives and is happy, hoping to take care of his family. They just say his most cherished person has cancer somewhere and it will require 30 million to treat the person. Just when the money finishes, the person dies. How about students that will conduct tutorial for others and then at their final exam they blank out with no explanation? And everybody says, no, you are not dull. And the individual says, I've done my best. I'm not talking about laziness and giving excuses with demons. Demons are real. They oppress people. I've seen people lose weight and you get to the hospital, blood, fine. Sugar level, fine. Blood pressure, fine. You can't explain, but they are dying. I know men and women of God who are people of integrity. They will not compromise, but they will never experience increase. The day somebody comes, another person carries a bad news that scatters the work. Listen, I'm saying this to you because shortly we are going to be praying. As you see an area in your life that requires the power of God, don't keep quiet. Get angry this night and say, Father, it is time for things to work. There is one thing I know about Satan. He's a stubborn spirit. Just because God said it does not mean he will obey. Obedience must be compelled by engaging the word. Hallelujah. There are families that never seem to prosper. Never seem to prosper. The men are like women, and the women are like men. Responsible, able-built men, but they cannot do anything. It's the women that feed the men. It's the wife that feeds the husband. The house was built by the wife. The car was bought by the wife. And the man is not lazy. Nothing he does prospers. The first day he bought his car, That was the day he went to hit somebody somewhere. These things you call coincidences are intentional demonic orchestrations. The wind is blowing in this place. We are going to be praying soon. I'm saying, like a whirlwind, this is what I'm saying, like a whirlwind across the congregation. I'm about to be saying something now, and there is a mighty deliverance that will happen here. Mighty. This is why you came. It's time to be set free. It's time to be set free. Alanto salike palakoshia. Rade malako sabrati. Sabalada balakata badabada. Rati lako barendo sabrati kediyalabada. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. But there are 11. I'm seeing 11 people right now as I speak. Please, if there are ushers, I want you to bring these 11 people out by the Spirit. There is a strong hand of God that is coming upon 11 people. And the Lord is telling me it is for the sake of their families. Not just for them, for the sake of their families. Bring them out. Bring them out. Blessed is he. Whether you're an usher or not, if someone is under the anointing with you, please bring them out. Holy, holy, blessed is he who comes in the name of our God. Shalandele keperene keperato sobrash. No, just those under the anointing. Bring them out. There's a reason. We'll be seated shortly. But I want you to bring them out. Hello, Madonna. Bring them out. I'm seeing a door that is closed, and the Lord is telling me to open that door. That is a door of someone's destiny that has been closed for many years. I speak by the spirit of prophecy. That door opens now. Ephata. Be open. Be open. Be open. Alakata brakata lakata lakata Alakata brakata Sabranta kata bakata pa Rakata brakata brakata lakata brakata Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there someone with a name Eberi? I'm hearing a name, Eberi. Come. I know the lion. I know the lamb. I know the lion. I know the lamb. I believe in the lion. I believe in the lamb. Hallelujah. Praise God. Who is Justice? Justice. This is like the name of Justice. justice. Now thanks be to God, which causes us always to triumph. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to me. Sir, I want to pray for you. Justice. In the name of Jesus Christ. I'm just ministering as the Holy Spirit. Every infirmity plaguing justice, in the name of Jesus Christ, blood condition, let it be healed right now. Let it be healed by the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ. Ebere, I pray for you in Jesus' name, that every power of witchcraft tying down your family, in the name that is above all names, I declare, be free now. Be free now. Be free now. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Please help them. Be free now. Be free now. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. I'm seeing light just right here. The power of God is coming on someone just right here. I want you to bring the person out for me. Just right here in front. In front there. Somewhere there. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Kadosh, we worship you. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Kadosh, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Kadosh, we worship you. Let me talk to that woman. That woman. Madam. Alena Sobras Kebeleko Praatus. Hallelujah. You'll be seated shortly. I'm seeing a woman for 6 years. You've been barren. 6 years. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Exactly 6 years. Please don't come out. 6 years. Who is that? 6 years. I want to pray for you. 6 years. Merciful God. 6 years, my sister. Is it husband and wife? Where is your wife?
This is my wife, sir.
Husband and wife.
Yes,
and
sir.
You. Let me pray for you. Do you believe in miracles? In the name of Jesus Christ, by the message of God, I speak over you. According to the time of life, everything that has hindered fertility, I come by the rod of the apostolic and the prophetic. In the name of Jesus, I release you now. Supernaturally, by the power of the help that lady, I release you now in the name of Jesus. Miracle children, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Ebele, Ebele, I pray for you in the name of Jesus. Who works in UBA, United Bank for Africa? UBA. UBA. The Lord is asking me to speak over someone. You walk in UBA. I pray for all of you who are here, who came out by the Spirit, that every oppression over your life right now, in the name of Jesus, let it come to an end now. I release you. Let doors be opened for you now. In Jesus' name. Please return to your seat rejoicing. I want to wrap up very quickly. There's something I want to explain to you. Hallelujah. Don't worry, those who are under the anointing, once they are fine, they can return back. UBA. Who works in UBA? You work in UBA. Where?
UBA, at Secretariat.
Okay. Because I want to pray. The Lord is asking me to pray for someone who works in UBA. And it's a prayer of restoration and a prayer of increase. These are the two things God is speaking to me about. Do you believe it, my sister? Can I pray that for you? In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare. I don't know what it is that you have lost, but I cry unto my God. May He restore you and may He bring increase to your life. What God says to one, He says to all. May He restore you right now. By the anointing of the Spirit, I release you. Step into a season of restoration. In the name of Jesus Christ. There is a man of God. Well, we'll have the time to pray for you tomorrow. But there's a man of God. As I'm speaking now, I just saw like a flash of fire. I don't know where the pastors are seated, but there is a man of God. A strong anointing right now as I speak is coming on you. You have prayed and you have fasted. And honestly, there is a hunger in your heart. And this thing is going to be a mighty manifestation of the prophetic and the healing anointing. These two dimensions of grace. Wherever that person is, please help them. I decree and declare right now, let that unction from heaven, it rests upon you. You will never be the same again. May your ministry step into another dimension by the Spirit of grace. Please be seated if you can. Give me 5 minutes. I have to wrap up what I'm teaching. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There are 3 ways, according to scripture, to enforce judgment upon wicked spirits and satanic manifestations in the life of believers. I want to show you this very quickly tonight. Remember, we excel. Please, if they are still under the anointing, just guide them so that they don't injure themselves. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. For 2 ladies now shouting loud under the anointing, the Lord is saying, salvation, there's an anointing coming on you. I'm just interpreting to you while you will be shouting. It's not a mechanical thing. 2 loud shout to the hearing of everybody. It's an anointing that is coming. It's not something that is mechanical. And the Lord is saying, salvation comes to your family. Salvation comes to your family. Salvation comes to your family. Loud shout. It's coming on 2 ladies. So that the things, realities that are finished in Christ, please listen, they become established in the life of the believer when you understand. Don't lose everything that I've taught you so far. When you understand and know how to enforce the spiritual resources that have been made available to you in Christ. Are we together? Yes. So that access in the Spirit does not equal possession. God has given us access to all things, but walking in the experience of dominion, the experience of victory, and the experience of fruitfulness demands us knowing and engaging the mysteries of the kingdom. And one of those mysteries is what we have picked tonight, the ability to mete out judgment upon wicked spirits. Remember, I told you Satan and all wicked spirits steal, they kill and they destroy. But that what they steal ultimately is your capacity to understand. This is really what Satan steals. When he steals your capacity to understand, then every other aspect of your life can fall like a pack of cards. Because the mystery that powers all things in your life is your spiritual understanding. Hallelujah. So when God wants to help you beyond restoring health, beyond giving you breakthrough, beyond giving you prosperity, what God really corrects to help you is your spiritual understanding. Are we together now?
Yes.
So, three ways to enforce judgment. Number one, the first way according to scripture that will enforce judgment over Satan and over all wicked spirits is by engaging in spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is the number one biblical pathway of establishing victory and establishing the judgment that has already been passed over Satan and all wicked spirits. What is spiritual warfare? Please look at me. Spiritual warfare refers to the act of establishing the victory that is finished in Christ over Satan and all demon spirits in the place of prayer. Taking advantage of the resources of the blood, the name, the word, to establish the victory that is already wrought in Christ on account of his substitutionary sacrifice. Spiritual warfare is not engaging in a battle hoping to see if you will win. That is a poor orientation. The basis of the believer's victory is that you are echoing victory that has already been wrought in Christ. Are we together? So the way it works is that realities are first finished in the spirit and then enforced in your life by engaging these mysteries. Spiritual warfare. The Bible tells us that we war. Our warfare is not against flesh and against blood. Ephesians chapter 6, you find that from verse 11 down to verse 18. We don't have the time to read it, but write it for reference. Ephesians 6, 11 to 18. Paul himself tells us that our wrestle is not against flesh and blood. That means our wrestle is not against your director. Your wrestle is not against your husband or your wife. It's not against your child. They are just human actors. The real contention is in the realm of the spirit. Something is making your husband behave that way. Your wife behave that way. Your child behave that way. Your director behave that way. Making you yourself behave that way. Are we together? And that when you do not have this intelligence that all things start from the realm of the spirit, the root of every matter, good or bad, is the realm of the spirit. Curses, blessings, increase, stagnation, they are all rooted in the spirit. Are we together? And so you engage in warfare. And you see, warfare is a whole subject. You can spend a whole day dealing with that. But one of the things you need to know is that when you are engaging in spiritual warfare, there are rules of engagement. Everything happens in the realm of the spirit on legal basis. Are we together now? When it has to do with the captivity of the believer or the captivity of the saints, Satan did not steal man's authority. It was given to him. Are we together now? When you are stealing and you hear someone coming, you run away. But if you transacted business with someone, even when the owner is coming, you don't run. Because the basis for settling that matter is to go to court. Is that true? So when you are engaging victory, you don't just say, Satan, I leave me alone. That doesn't work that way. The basis for the believer's victory is the mystery of the blood. Are we together now? Yes. The blood is the basis for the believer's victory. Because the blood there is a representation of the life of God. The just treated unjustly so that those who are unjust can step into his righteousness. The blood of God, the blood of Jesus, as it were, it is the legal access for making any claims in the spirit. On your own righteousness and on account of what you have done or not done, it is impossible for you to command any level of victory. The basis for the believer's victory is the mystery of the blood that was shed for many. And I hope you know that in salvation, when you get saved, there are three things you receive primarily. Number one, you receive the forgiveness of sin. Number two, you receive the imputation of righteousness. Number three, you receive the life of God. This is what you receive when you answer the call to to make Jesus Lord of your life. The forgiveness of sin gives way to you receiving the imputation of God's righteousness, and then the life of God. So you engage in warfare. Most believers do not pray. They do not engage in strategic prayer. One of the reasons why we were given the prayer language of the Spirit, in addition to our personal edification, is because we are limited in understanding. The Bible says, "For we do not know what to pray for as we ought to." Are we together? Yes, that we are limited. The Bible says we have an infirmity. That infirmity is not sickness. The infirmity is limitation in knowledge. That when you are assessing situations carnally, chances are excellent that your assessment will fall short of what is actually wrong. And so you were given the advantage of the prayer language, and that in praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is able to make intercession for you accurately, consistent with the will of God. That when a man begins to pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is given the liberty through your prayer to search the mind of the Father and to know the things that are apportioned for your prophetic destiny. And He can schedule that even through your prayer. When believers do not pray, they remain victims. Your prayer is releasing your will to participate with the Word of God, to participate with prophecy, to participate with the Holy Spirit in establishing your victory. Someone shout, "I receive the grace to pray." Say it again, "I receive the grace to pray." By this declaration, every attack on your prayer life, in the name of Jesus, it dies tonight. I say to you again, every attack on your prayer life dies tonight in Jesus' name. So number one, warfare. Very quickly, let me just point out two. The second mystery that enforces judgment is the mystery of praise with understanding. Praise with understanding. Psalm 149 from verse 6 to 9. "Let the high praises of God be upon their lips, and a double-edged sword upon their hands, to execute vengeance upon their nobles, to bind their kings with fetters of iron, to execute the judgment that is written." There is judgment that is written, but that execution happens in the atmosphere of praise. At midnight, the Bible says, Paul and Silas, they prayed and then they sang loud enough. The Bible did not say all those in the prison sang. Only two people sang. The rest heard. But when the victory came, everybody in the prison benefited from it. In the presence of praise, there are victories that extend beyond you. That everyone connected to you can be beneficiaries of your praise. "I will call upon the Lord," he says, "who is worthy of praise." He says, "So, by that formula of prayer and praise, shall I be saved from my enemies." In 2 Chronicles 20, from verse 22 and 23, you know that story, the story of Jehoshaphat. The Bible says they were given an instruction to shelve their swords and to allow the praisers to be in front. And they lifted up incense of praise, saying, "You are good and your mercies endure forever." The Bible says as they raised it, there was an ambushment against their adversary that they began to kill themselves until the last person helped to kill the other person. And when they came, they found dead bodies with treasures. Only fools go to war carrying treasures. Are we together? So number one, warfare. Number two, praise. Let me tell you the truth. Praise is a deep mystery in the kingdom. When you sing and engage in praise with understanding, He inhabits the praises of people, but He goes up, He rises in the praise of God's people and enforces the judgment that is written. Number three, and this is where we end for tonight. The third mystery that enforces judgment is called obedience. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6. Obedience is beyond an action. Obedience is a mystery. It allows for certain things to happen upon the earth. And having a readiness, the Bible says, to revenge. Having a readiness to judge, to revenge. How many disobedience? All. all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You can pray, you can praise, but if you walk in disobedience, Satan still has a loophole to your life. And the strength of obedience is knowledge of the ways of God. If you do not even know what God demands, you will not be able to obey. Obedience is powerful. Every miracle in the Bible that I have read, except the miracle of raising of the dead, answered directly to obedience. If it be thou, bid me come. He said, come. He never said, Peter, come. He said, come. Anybody who obeyed, if he mentioned a name, then it will be disobedience to any other person. But he said, come. Like he's telling you to come to a higher level. He didn't put a name there. Come. Blessed is the man that God causes to approach him. That he's made it possible for you to be here. It is God beckoning on you to come. Are we together now? I have watched this in my own life. I have watched this in the life of many in life and in ministry. The mystery of warfare. Some of you need to go back home. And you see, what gives value to your prayer? Maybe tomorrow we'll have a bit of time to talk on that. What gives value to your prayer is not just the energy dissipated. It's the spiritual intelligence that backs up your prayer. You can pray energetically but in ignorance. Are we together now? What gives value to prayer is the word compliancy of your prayer. When prayer is fervent, it means your zeal and your heart and your energy is invested into it. But when prayer is effectual, it means that it is consistent with the will of God. And the Bible says, this is the confidence we have in Him, that when we ask anything but according to His will, we know, this is our confidence, that He heareth us. Engage in warfare. Engage in praise. Engage in obedience in a delightsome way. Like Mary said in John chapter 2, whatsoever He says to do, do it. Do it. If He says be diligent to increase, then be diligent. If He says there is seed that scattereth to increase, then obey. Are we together now? Yeah. If He says righteousness exalts, then obey. If He says, seeth thou a man diligent, he shall not stand before mean men. Then if you are tired of standing before mean men, engage the law of diligence. Desiring demons to obey and respect you when perpetually living in disobedience is a total waste of time. The force that releases angelic activities, the force that releases the power of God is obedience. Whatsoever He says to do, do. Can we rise up and pray for 1 minute? Just for 1 minute. I'd like you to pray and cry. Turn these 3 keys to prayer. I obtain grace to engage in prayer. I obtain grace. Go ahead and pray.
But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory, You lift my head.
Are you praying?
But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory, the lifter up of my head. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory, You lift my head. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're my glory, the lifter up of my head. My glory, the lifter up of my head. You're my glory, the lifter up of my head. You're my glory, the lifter up of my head.
Someone is praying.
You're my glory, the lifter up of my head, the lifter up of my head, the lifter up of my head. You're the lifter up of my head. the lifter up of my head. You're the lifter up of my head.
The grace to pray, engaging the word in prayer, warding off the arsenals of darkness, engaging the blood for the establishment of my victory, engaging the word, engaging the name, warding off the forces assigned against your relevance, your influence, like a carpenter tearing down the horse that have lifted up their heads against Judah, against Jerusalem, against Israel, so that no man doth lift up his head.
You're the lifter up of my head.
Obtain grace to praise. Obtain grace to praise. I said, though the leaf does not wither, and there be not olive on the vine, he said, yet I will rejoice. I will joy in the God of my salvation. He's called the God of my salvation. The God of my salvation. Finally, obtain grace to obey. Grace to be obedient. Grace to walk in obedience. Grace to be obedient. Having the readiness to revenge, to judge. Obedience is a weapon. It can judge darkness. Obedience is a weapon. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. My time is up. My apologies. Please give me 2 minutes. Let me make an altar call before I get back to my seat. I have to make an altar call. Please look at me. When I began my discussion, I told us that salvation is the only gateway to transit from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You can receive a miracle, saved or not. You can receive breakthrough, saved or not. But the legitimacy that Satan has over your life is officially broken at the point Jesus becomes Lord of your life. Among the thousands of people scattered here inside and outside and the many following online, I want you to give me the honor tonight in the next 1 minute to lead you to this Jesus, the one for whom we are gathered here tonight. And there's no point cajoling, there's no point lying to yourself. You have the power to use your will and say, Apostle, I'm ready to win the war of my destiny now. I'm going to count 1 to 5, from the back to the front, left to the right. You want to make Jesus Lord of your life or rededicate your life? I want you to run by the count of 5. Please be standing here. I begin my counting now. Let's honor them as they come. 1. Is this the best that you can do? Celebrating salvation. 2. Keep clapping. They are coming. I see people coming right from the back. God bless you. God bless you, my sister. God bless you, my brother. It's the new season. No matter how dark, no matter how bad things have been, Jesus is able to give you a new beginning. Keep clapping. They are coming. 3.4. If you are coming from behind, could you double up? We have just a few seconds. 4. Port Harcourt, is this how you celebrate salvation? Out of her now in Jesus' name. All right, please come. God bless you. Please come. Please come. Now, I'm going to lead you to pray. Look at me, ladies and gentlemen. The call to make Jesus Lord of your life and your response to that call is the wisest decision you can ever make in this side of God's kingdom. Some of you are making this call for the very first time. I presume that some of you are saying, I really want to rededicate my life. It doesn't matter. And perhaps you are seated and you are saying, Apostle, can I join them? I don't even know if I'm saved or not. Join them. You can have the assurance of salvation tonight. I want to thank you, my dear brothers and sisters. And let me also speak to someone who is following online. distance is no barrier, especially when it has to do with making Jesus Lord of your life. So as I lead God's precious people here in Port Harcourt to make this decision, I want you to follow through and make that decision too. Lift your right hand high above your head, and I want you to say this. Let it be from the depth of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus. One more time, say, Lord Jesus. Tonight, I have heard your word. I believe that you died for my sin. I believe that you rose again for my justification. Right now, I receive Jesus into my heart as my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From tonight, I'm a child of God. I go forward ever and backward never. Amen. Keep your hands lifted. Father, thank you. The Bible declares that as many who will come to you, you will in no wise cast away. These ones have come declaring your lordship over their lives. By the authority of Scripture, I declare your sins forgiven. I call you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, bona fide recipients of the life of God. The grace to live and walk in victory, let it be released upon you now. You go from glory to glory. In Jesus' name, I pray. Praise the name of the Lord. Okay, here's what I want you to do for me, everyone. Please look at me. Counselors, can you wave your hands? Let me see you. Okay, so we have some of our counselors there waving their hands. Please, may I request that all of you in concert, I would request that you move to my left. That will be your right. And then they will have a word and a quick prayer with you. And then you'll be back to join the service. Let's honor them as they go. Keep clapping until they leave. Keep clapping. Let's celebrate salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here's what will happen. Let me encourage you. Tomorrow, I want to lend my voice with your pastor to encourage you. We'll save the prayer for the sick, and every other ministration will let that be for tomorrow. But then I want to encourage you, invite everybody around this city. If there's no space, they can sit on the roof. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together now? So make sure that you invite everyone. Tell them the Lord is moving mightily. And can I make a request that the people come with their prayer request tomorrow? Will that be fine, sir? Okay. Praise God. Now, here's what, thank God I have the permission of your pastor. As you're coming tomorrow, I want you to write everything you are tired of that has mocked God over your life. And for your loved ones who may not be able to make it, and I wonder why they should not be here, but if for any reason they are not here, please receive their request. We'll collate everything, and tomorrow let the God that answers by fire, God by His mercy will be bringing an end to anything that looks like calamity. But for now, I speak over your life. For many of you, before the sun rises in the morning, in the name of Jesus, your testimony would have arrived. The testimony of the wonder-working power of God. I declare age-long captivities that have tied your life, tied your family, tied your loved ones. In the name of Jesus, you are released from them now. In the name of Jesus Christ. You will hear good news from every quarter. In the mighty name of Jesus. For your sake I declare, let the book of remembrance be opened. That they that have forgotten you by the influence of the Spirit, and in the name of Jesus Christ, they will rush to help you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Wave your hands to Jesus and give Him all the praise and all the glory.
Is that the best you can do? If that's the best you can do, lift up your hand.